Okay, we are picking up with the Gemara on Mem Tes Amud Aleph. We are at the very top with the Mishnah. This Mishnah is very relevant for this year because the Mishnah is going to discuss, we know normally the 14th falls out on a weekday, so you have no problems, no shilas. What do? You burn the chametz on Erev Pesach and there's no shilas. What happens though when Shabbos is Erev Pesach? So you're not allowed to burn the chametz. So that's the whole tumult. That's the three-way machlokas that we're going to see in this Mishnah and following Gemara. So it says the Mishnah, Ba'asar Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, when the 14th of Nisan falls out on Shabbos, as it will this year. We haven't had it in like 10 years. Mevarin is a kol mifnei Shabbos. You have to give it all the chametz before Shabbos, meaning all the chametz Rashi tells us is both the truma and the non-truma that he expects not to eat on Shabbos. However, you are allowed to keep chametz for your Shabbos meal. The first two meals of the day, you can have your chametz meals. Others understand, feed this shita of Reb Meir, that everything means that all chametz must be destroyed and you're only allowed to eat matzah according to this shita. So that's the divrei Reb Meir, that is the opinion of Reb Meir. But chachamim omrim, chachamim say bizmano, that we get rid of all the chametz at the normal time, meaning on Shabbos, the chachamim disagree with Reb Meir, and they say that not only two meals, they say that one is allowed to have as much chametz as you want and get rid of the rest of it on Shabbos in a way that would be mutter to get rid of it, meaning not burning it, but like flushing down the toilet, whatever which way you can get rid of it. However, so then says there's a third sheet, in Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Truma Melefne Shabbos. He makes a chiluk. We get rid of chametz that's Truma, you get rid of before Shabbos, because it's very unlikely that people are going to come, that you're going to need to give it to them, because it's only Kohanim could eat it, only Kohanim are tar. So that's why you get rid of that before Shabbos. V'chulin is manan, however, you can get rid of normal, non-truma, you can eat it, non-kohanim allowed to eat it and give it to normal people, so therefore you can get rid of it on Shabbos. So that is the shita over here. So now we have the shita, Tani of Abraisa, which quotes Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok, who continues and he says, Pam achas Shabbos avad b'yavne. One time my father spent Shabbos in Yavne, v'chalar basar elios b'Shabbos, and the 14th of Nisan fell out on Shabbos that year, uvazonim imunah shal Rabban Gamliel, and Zonin, who is the name of a person, who was the gabbai of Rabban Gamliel, he came and he told him, Hagiyaz eid levar chametz, the time has come to get rid of chametz, v'lachti achar abba v'yarnos chametz. So then I followed him, and we got rid of chametz. So this story over here is telling a proof that that you can get rid of the chametz on Shabbos. So the shayla is, though, in the Rishonim already, is that this proof, so we accept this proof. So is this proof telling us that you have to get rid of everything before Shabbos, or are you allowed to have more than meaning and then just only allowed to keep your meals, or are you allowed to have a regular amount and get rid of whatever you think you might need and even leftovers? So we actually paskin based on the Rambam, we paskin Shulchan Aruch that someone has to get rid of all the chametz that you won't need for Shabbos. So basically just keep two rolls, the minimum amount, the two rolls for each meal. So you have two rolls for the Friday night meal, Friday day, and then Shal Shudas, depending how you're going to do the Shal Shudas. If you're going to have Shal Shudas before Chatzos, then have that as well. So then you have the bare minimum and you get rid of that. And that's how we hold. And we do the beer before and we get rid of it. And Mr. Brewer actually says when we do the beer on this year that we don't really do it on the 14th, we're going to makdim it. So when you're makdim the beer chametz, you should actually do it before the 6 hours as you normally would during a normal year. Okay, that is a very fascinating Mishnah and Gemara, which is very relevant again for this year. Now the next Mishnah continues. There's normally two ways of getting rid of chametz. The Sashayla, if they're both going to be Mekayim at Daraisa, only one, it's Sashayla and the Rishonim. If you have Bittel and Bedika, those are the two pronged attacks to get rid of your Daraisa of getting rid of your chametz. So now Mishnah discusses that someone who went he went traveling already, so then how far do we make him go back to get rid of his chametz? A holech lishchot as pischa. Someone is going on the 14th Nisan to shecht his korban Pesach. So the Mishnah is just bringing an example of that's an example. It'd be other din as well. But amulas beno. So or to give a bris milah to your son. But ethel sudas erusin beveis chamav. Or to have a sudas erusin. Erusin. So now it's important to note that in the time of the Gemara, erusin, what we call erusin, literally means engagement. But our halachic engagements almost have no significance because we don't even do the tanaim. The tanaim are the agreement. That's actually shaila. If you're going to promise not to get back out of the marriage, that's we don't even do that. In Maisa, most people have the minhag. Just to the engagement really means nothing halachically, almost nothing halachically. So, in the times of the Gemara, though, they used to have what's called the halacha engagement, means that they would give the ring and they'd say, Harei at mikudeshe betavat. Do that whole process that we do. Under the chuppah, we combine the erusin and the suin now. But that was all done in the times of Gemara at a stage like a year before. So we'll see in the Gemara's and Ksubis. We'll discuss this at length. That's the time they used to give them. They used to have the halacha engagement, and she's fully married mid to oresa. That first she would be married, and anyone who had relations with that woman, let's say, is chayiv misa. If she has relations with someone else, if she's an husband, she's chayiv misa at that point. She's full fledged married. Nisuin is just the first state where the husband inherits, or a different dinim will apply by nisuin, but irisin is full-fledged marriage midaraisa. So here we're talking about the chol irisin beveis chamav is talking about someone who went to a meal at the house of his father-in-law. So this, the simple reading of the Mishnah implies that specifically that only maybe the chasen and the kala are attending their own engagement party. So ever This meal is clearly a mitzvah, not just on him, again, because it's a hechsher for Pru Revu, that's quoted by the Pesukei Reed, but also it seems to imply that everyone going to this meal is going to be included in the mitzvah, not just the chasim and the kala, because it's a sudas mitzvah, and it's a sudas simchas chasim v'kala. Just to note also, halacha l'maisa, the Shulchan Aruch says that someone is usher to have a meal before Shabbos or Yom Tov, even if it's a sudas mitzvah like a sudas irisim. Magen Avraham says, what do you mean? Our Mishnah is talking about Erev Pesach. It's about Erev Shabbos, Erev Pesach. Our Magen Avraham says, our Mishnah is talking about Erev. We're talking about Erev Pesach, this halacha is talking about. And yet, what do we see? That you're having a Sudas Irisin. So clearly it sounds to be Mutter. So how can you tell me Shulchan Aruch that it's not Mutter? Therefore, he argues on the Shulchan Aruch. So someone just to defend the Shulchan Aruch. Maybe we're talking about before Chatzos. Maybe that everyone would agree should be Mutter. Okay, that's a very interesting Shaila. But that's what comes out of the Mishnah. So what, either way, what happens over here? You're going to this mitzvah, the Sudas mitzvah. Nitzkar sheish bo chametz v'tzorchei. Wait a second. Oh my gosh. I left some chametz in my house. So then I left some chametz in my house, and that is the shayla over here. So if you're able to return home to get rid of your chametz and go back to the sudas eris and do both, then yachzor levar. So then you should go first get rid of it, and then go. Then go do the mitzvah. In love, ibat lo b'libo. If not, then you should nullify it in your heart. So just a few hours over here, Rabbi Yashiv points out that maybe that this mitzvah is specifically very interesting. It's not all. This halacha, which we give a heter for the sudas mitzvah, maybe that should only apply by sudas chasim v'kala, because then you have simchas chasim v'kala. Maybe a bris milah, another sudas mitzvah, he thinks maybe would be in fact different. Now the other halacha is that the Mishnah tells you that you have the right to mivat lebelibo, just literally to nullify it in your heart, which is mashma that you don't actually have to say it bepeh with your mouth. You don't have to verbally declare the chametz onerless. That in fact is the opinion of the Rambam. However, the Ran points out that you do need to get rid of it with your mouth. You can't just have it in mind that I'm making it hefke. That's not enough. So then what does the Mishnah say? That Lashon of the Mishnah says Mevatla Belibos, it says the Ran. It must mean that you don't have to be Eino Tzarech L'Shmei L'Ozno. You don't have to make it verbal, audible, that other people can hear you. You could whisper it and that would be enough. Okay, so that's what the Mishnah tells you. Lahatzil min anachri. So if you're on your way to rescue people, so you're doing from goyim, so there's real sakanas nefashos min anar, or from a river that's flooding, min alistim, or from robbers, you're afraid. Again, these are all shadows of pikuach nefesh, or the plague, or from a fire, min apolis, or a building that fell down. Again, these are all shadows of pikuach nefesh. Yevat lebelibo. So then you get rid of it in your heart, meaning you don't have to go home. And the chiddush over here, that according to Rashi, even if you have enough time to get rid of your chametz and save the endangered people, because we're afraid that we're afraid that at the end of the day, maybe the fact that, first of all, midaraisa, since it works, then you should do the midaraisa. And we're afraid that if you go back to your chametz, even though you're sure you have enough time, maybe it'll take you longer than you thought. And then we're talking about pikuach nefesh over here. So pikuach nefesh, for sure, don't mess around with it and do the pikuach nefesh. And again, because midaraisa, we're talking about a situation where you're getting rid of it midaraisa as well. Because again, I'm doing the pitul. So continues the third case of the Mishnah. V'lish b'shvisas harashis. If you want to establish a shvisas harashus, we should be familiar with this. This was in the Gemara in Irvin, in the 5th and 6th parak, we discussed at length, that a person is setting up if you're not allowed to go more than 2,000 amos past the last house of the city, with regards to, that's called Erev Tchumen. So if you go beyond 2,000 amos, then it's going to be Aser. So what if I set up my Erev within 2,000 amos there, then that could be my Makom Shvisa, and I can go past that another 2,000 amos. So now, so if I'm setting up a Makom Harashus, for just an optional thing and nothing, that is a mitzvah, so then says the Mishnah, then Yachzor Miyah, then I should go right away, because at the end of the day, I don't have a mitzvah to go back. Since I don't have a mitzvah to go back, then I have no right to not be vatal chametz, which is vatal chametz right away. So that's the first case. However, if it's a davar mitzvah though, then Rashi points out that if it's a davar mitzvah, then you would be allowed to have the regular tzorchei mitzvah at the dinim of the sudas chasim nekala, the same halachas would apply. That if, when it comes to, if you're not able to do both, you're only able to go to do this, to set up to Simchas Chasim Nekala, or to be Menachem Avel, Rakish's second example, then I would not have a chiyuv to go back if I'm not able to do it without not being Mevatel. So I just Mevatel and I continue on my way. It's interesting, the Achorim points out, but what is it? Rashi says you're Menachem Avel. What are we talking about? Erev Pesach. How am I being Menachem Avel? Well, after Yom Tov. After Yom Tov, that's Mevatel Shiva. So how could I be Menachem Avel? So someone to point out from here, we see that there's a concept of Nichum Avelim, even after Shiva. Even after Shiva, halachically, we see that it's called, according to Rashi at least, it's still called a Torah Mitzvah. Now we have a third case, Vilishvos Shvisas Harashus. If someone wants to, now we have the Mishnah Ketijah with another halacha, V'chein, Mishi Yatzim Yishalayim Nizkar Sheyesh B'yad HaBasar Kodesh. So similar halacha over here. If someone left Yishalayim and he remembers, wait a second, I have some hektish meat over here. We know that there's two categories, there's Kachim and Kachim Kalim. That's a certain, right? There's more Kachim Kalim is less is less machmir. You can eat them anywhere in Yerushalayim, right? That's Ezim Mekoman. We talk about certain shlamim, let's say, is kachim kalim, as opposed to chatas, which kachim kachim. So you can only eat the chatas, let's say, in the Beis HaMikdash, as opposed to the shlamim, you can eat anywhere in Yerushalayim. So let's say I forgot, and I took it already outside of Yerushalayim, so the lot is I have to burn it. So what if I already, passed Sofim, which Rashi says is a village outside of Yerushalayim, Tosfos disagree, they said that it's a specific place, it's not a specific place, rather it's anywhere that you can see Yerushalayim from. Either way, it's some sort of place outside of Yerushalayim, whether it's one specific place or all places that can see the end of Yerushalayim. Sarfim come and they have to burn it where you are, v'im lav. If he hasn't passed Sofim, you should return to Yerushalayim and burn it before the Bira with the wood of the Atzei HaMeracha. So that's what we're talking about here, that this is the place where the Beis HaMikdash was designated for burning, that if you didn't go past that place, then you have a chiyuv to go back and burn your kachim. How much chametz does that, and also kachin, do you have to go back for? What is the amount, the minimum amount? Rabbi Meir Omer, Zeva Zeva Kabetza. Rabbi Meir says the minimum is going to be an eggs amount. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Zeva Zeva Kazayas, that both of them are going to be an olives amount. Chachamim Omerim, Basar Kodesh Bekazayas. Chachamim say that Basar Kodesh is going to be an olives amount. Chametz Bekabetza, whereas the case of chametz is going to be an eggs amount. So they make a chilek over here. Riva and Tosfos explain what's the reason for the chilek over here, because at the end of the day, when it comes to chametz, bitul ma'al masagi works. So therefore, it's all midareisa good anyway. So then it's going to be amount of a beit. However, with regards to kachim, we're going to be much more machmir because we don't see that anyway, anything less than a beit is not a problem. So therefore, we're going to be more machmir and make you have a kezias. Now the Mishnah continues. The Mishnah is asking a question that really going to a Sudas Irisin, again, the halachic engagement meal, is a mitzvah. Uramino, is that really true? We have a brisa which seems to indicate that it's not a mitzvah. Haholech lechol Sudas Irisin beveis chamav. Someone is going to have a meal at his father-in-law's house, v'lishbos shvisas harashus, or to establish a shvisas harashus, again, the example of setting up your eruv for an optional purpose, not for a mitzvah. So then, yachzer miyad, you should go right away. So this brisa tells you that you don't have a heter for a Sudas Irisin, for the halachic engagement. So it says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan lo kasher. Rabbi Yochanan says there is no contradiction between the two cases. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, the Braisa is following the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, whereas the Mishnah is following Rabbi Yossi. What is the Shita? Does the sound of the Braisa tells us? Sudas Irisin Rishus, that a marriage ceremony, that engagement is a Rishus to Rabbi Yehuda. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda, so he is the Braisa. And Rabbi Yossi says that it's a mitzvah. That's going to be following our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Vahash the Rav Chisda, but actually you don't even have to explain like that, says the Gemara, because Rav Chisda, now that Rav Chisda told us, Machokas Besuda Shnia, the Machokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi is only talking about the second meal. Apparently, so Rashi points out that sometime after the original meal that they used to send each other gifts or different clothing, whatever it may have been, that's called sivlanos, that they used to give each other, the presents they used to give each other for the chas and the kala, apparently they used to make a second meal as well. That's the machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Ava basuda rishon ve'a kol mitzvah, but the first meal, everyone agreed. Even Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that that's a mitzvah. Afilu tema ha veha Rabbi Yehuda, even if you're going to establish that both Mishnah and the Braisa Rabbi Yehuda velo kasha, there's going to be no contradicting, because we can answer Abba Suda Rishona. The Mishnah is talking about the first Uda, and Abba Suda Rishona, the second place, is referring to the second Seuda. So either way, so then everyone's agreeing that a Suda's Erison, halachically, is going to be a mitzvah. So then the Gemara points out, Tana, we have a Braisa which supports this Shita, that we're supporting what the Rav Chisda had established as Machokas between Rav Yehuda and Rosi, because the Braisa tells us, Amar Rav Yehuda, Ani lo shamati ela sudas irisin avalo sivlonos, that I have heard that not only the engagement party is a mitzvah, but even the gifts, again, the second meal you're going to have is a mitzvah as well. As opposed to Amar Elor Rav Yossi, Rav Yossi responded, Ani shamati sudas irisin visivlonos, I have heard that both the meal and the engagement, halakh engagements, are going to be mitzvahs, and therefore they're both going to, even the second meal is a mitzvah. So we see that the machlok is about the second meal, everyone agrees the first meal is a mitzvah. So what about, again, I mentioned halakhically we don't really have much tokef to our engagements. Rabbi Yashiv points out that he thinks that the engagement party would, because there is tanaim where the chas and the kala agree to get married. So I'm just wondering, l'chora, he's not talking about, again, these are chasidim and maybe in Yerushalmi is to make tanaim. Tanaim is a different thing where you agree, it's like a real thing, you make a chirim against someone who doesn't keep the tanaim. In world, when they get engaged, it means they're getting married. Unfortunately, many times we know people who break off the engagement, so we don't have tanaim in most of our circles. We don't make the halachic commitment to get married. So I'm wondering, would Rav Shiv, because again, he thinks that halachic engagement party might have some sort of tokef of a sudas mitzvah, but he also points out that if you make a vort and then a party, that only the first one is going to be the mitzvah. So that would be, a lot of people do that as well. A lot of people, the night they get engaged, you make a small little l'chaim. So according to El Yosef, that's the only mitzvah. The next thing that you'll do, the whole big party, that's not a suddas mitzvah. So maybe you make a siyum, something else, to make it at least a suddas mitzvah. But I'm wondering, b'chlal, even if El Yosef holds that it's a mitzvah, even the second one, l'maisa, we don't make tanayim. So if you don't make tanayim, I'm just wondering if b'chlal, that would be a suddas mitzvah. But if you take the svara that it's about the pur revu and they're getting married, this is the halakha of getting married, maybe you could argue that it still would have some sort of suddas mitzvah aspect associated with it. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Tanya. So we're going to get into this. Is actually our first. I'm pretty sure it's our first. We had a little bit of Gimel Beis, but other than that, it's like the first Agadah, the Lomas Echta. We had 49 daf for the Agadah. Rav Shimon Mar Kolzer Shenish Shal Mitzvah. Any Talmud Chacham Rasha Alei Minusin. Any meal that's not a Tzudas Mitzvah, a Talmud Chacham is usher to have benefit from it. So a Tzudas Mitzvah again is something that's like a wedding meal, you know, Bris Mila. All those are Tzudas Mitzvah. A Talmud Chacham should otherwise refrain from any fancy meal, which is not again because Rambam writes that a person who's a Talmud Chacham has a higher standards of what he has to live up to, so therefore you should not be attending such parties. So the Gemara gives an example. What's an example of something that's not a suddas mitzvah? Rabbi Yochanan can go to Bas Yisrael le Bas Kohen le Yisrael. A Bas Kohen who's marrying Yisrael, that's not considered a suddas mitzvah. Ubas Tamar Chacham la Ma'aretz, or a daughter of a Tamar Chacham to Ma'aretz, that's not a suddas mitzvah either. Meaning this type of marriage is not a good thing because a Kohen, the daughter of a Kohen, should dafka marry a Kohen and shouldn't ruin her status by marrying a Yisrael. That's a lower person. And so that's actually Nifsak Lalav. Shulchan Aruch actually quotes this din about a Bas Kohen not marrying Yisrael. So what do we all do nowadays? Rabbi Yashiv quotes a different Atarim. He writes, the first one is, first of all, we don't have a Kohen Miyuchas, Bizman Azeh. We don't have Kohanim that really can trace their lineage to real Bayashini. So then that's why the Lacha doesn't apply. But he thinks that you have, if you have Kohanim Miyuchasim, they are, by the way, if I think their Rappaports are Miyuchasim family, they mamish can trace their lineage to Bayashini, to the people who literally serve in the Avoda. Rabbi Yashiv actually thinks you should be Machmer. I'm very curious if they are Machmer to only marry Kohanim, or we're see halacha l'maisa, you can l'chora also marry a bas tamal chacham. That's a heter as well. So they probably do that. So the Gemara continues now. Damar Rabbi Yochanan says bas kohen le Yisrael, a bas kohen who marries a Yisrael in zivugon aleyafa. That's not a good marriage. It's not going to be good bracha. Mahi. So the Gemara says, why is it not? In what respect is it not going to be good? Amar v'chista, oh amana ogrusha ozera einla. So all things that are not good is that the kohen's daughter is going to become a widow, she's going to get divorced, or they're not going to have any children. All things that are not necessarily good. I mean, they're all not necessarily. They're very bad. So the Gemara continues. The Brisa says, "B'mastisa tana, we learn in the Brisa, kovra, that her husband is going to bury her before her time. O kovarsa, or she will bury him, meaning he's going to die young, or she's going to die young. O mevielad dianias, or they're going to come poor." The Gemara asks, "Any, is it really true that Yisrael marries the daughter of a kohen and it becomes poor?" Rabbi Yochanan Arutza, she's asking about Yisrael Aru. Someone who wants to get rich, he should marry a kohenes. She's going, and you're going to get wealth. Kol shol kol shegav Torah kuna maaserta, because if you have Torah and they have Kehuna, then obviously that is going to make you rich, because we know that the Marshav points out that we have the concept of Ketores. Ketores was Mashir, not just the Ketores. Apparently, left a person, a shefa in the world to give bracha for all the Kohanim, and so therefore, apparently, if anyone marries into Kohanim, they're going to become wealthy. So the Gemara answers, Lokasha, there's no stira between the Braisa and Rabbi Yochanan, because Abba Tamil Chacham, the Rabbi Yochanan's teaching was referring to a Tamil Chacham who marries the daughter of a Kohen. That's okay, as I mentioned before, Amma Ba'aretz, as opposed to an Amma Aretz who marries the daughter of a Tamil Chacham. That is not a good thing. That's really bad. And that's what we're talking about over here, which is totally usher. So that's, now the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yoshua Nasiv Kenasa. Rabbi Yoshua married a Kohenes and Cholash, and then he became sick. Amar, so he was very upset. He said, Lo nicha leila Aaron, the Rabbi Bazar. He says, maybe Aaron is unhappy, so to speak, that I'm marrying his descendants to Havile Chasana Kiana, because look how lowly I am, and therefore I'm getting sick, and this marriage isn't working out for me. That's how the Pashim Fathers, Rabbi Yoshua, explained. He thought that he was saying it sarcastically, that he felt Halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, and he was a Talmud Chacham, and he's right to marry Zarashan, saying, what, Aaron's not happy that they're marrying me? Why am I sick? Why is this marriage not working out? It's interesting. That's an interesting Aaron from Rabbi Yoshua. The Mark continues, Rav Idi Bar Avin Nasiv Kanasar, Rav Idi Bar Avin married a Kohenes, Nafku Minei Shrei Bnei Samchei. There came from them two smuchin. It was a very big deal to get the smicha process from Moshe all the way to Yeshua. It went all the way down. Not everyone, very, very few rabbanim in each generation were zocha to that. So now they're saying that we're giving an example of someone whose marriage did succeed. Rav Sheshes Breid Rav Idi, Rav Yeshua Breid Rav Idi. Those are the two gedolim, Rav Sheshes Breid Rav Idi and Rav Yeshua Rav Idi. Amar Papa, Papa says, Ilo Nasiv Kanasar, Lo Isara. Isari. That he said, I'm going to marry a Kohenes, I want to become wealthy. So it was very successful also for Rav Papa. So the Gemara continues. Rav Kana said, if I didn't marry Kohanis, I wouldn't have been exiled, meaning it was bad for him. He had to go from Babel to Eretz Yisrael. Babel, he was teaching Torah, and the Gemara relates in Bava Kama that Rav Kana killed a Jew to stop him from being Moser to a non-Jew. In order to escape, he was told that in order to escape him, he fled to Eretz Yisrael. So he attributes the fact that he had to flee to Eretz Yisrael as the Golus because of the fact that he married a Kohanis. I'm related. They said to him, what do you mean? V'hala makam Torah, and there was a lot of Torah in Eretz Yisrael. You're giving Shirim, it's amazing. He says, no, but still, I didn't choose to come over here. I had to run out. I was nervous for my life. It was a terrible, it was a hard way to get here. So that's still considered a Golus. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says, someone who benefits from a meal that's not a Surah's mitzvah is eventually going to go into exile. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, you eat literally fat sheep from the flock and calves from inside of the marbek. It's like a stall. The Pasuk also says, therefore you're going to be exiled in the head of the exiles. So that's referring to someone who is eating fat meat, and therefore you're going to get galus. The Gemara continues about someone who's eating or having too much gashmiyos. Taner Rabbanan, kol tamar chacham, amar besudasa b'chol makom. Any tamar chacham who eats too much in any place, soch marchiv his space, so he's ultimately going to destroy his house. Ma'almanis ishto, his wife is going to become a widow. Me'aisim as goes up and orphan his young. So what in the world is going on over here? So the In Yaakov explained with Das Rashi that he's talking about he's going to have so much gashmiyos in his life. He's going to have so much gashmiyos. He's going to have to keep up with that lifestyle. So therefore, you're going to have fancy meals, go out to restaurants all the time. So then you're going to have to leave on business trips. So that's the lashon of Almanis Asha. It means your widow wife is going to have to leave for long periods of time to work because you need so much money to support yourself because you have so much gashmiyos in your life. And offering your young, again, similar idea, is that because they're going to be away from you for so long. Obviously, you're not going to be learning well because you don't have time to review because you're busy working all day to make the parnasa that you need. You need $1 million to live. So that's why you're not going to be successful in your learning. And you're going to have people argue with you all the time because Rashi says, and since you're not learning and you're not reviewing properly, or because maybe you're forgetting, you're going to say something that's false. That's what Rashi says, or because you're going to buy something all the time and buy on credit and not pay back. That's the other option Rashi gives for why you're going to machlokas rabbos. Dvar v'nei shemaim, no one's going to listen to you. Machal shem shemaim, also you're going to be machal shem shemaim b'shem rabbo, and also your Rebbe's name b'shem aviv and your father's name begorim shem ra lo levanav 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 atzav kol doros. It's going to be bad basically for everybody. Not good. Not a good situation. Somebody who overindulges. The Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Mai." So, what respect is? What's going to the name calling? What's going to happen to you? Marabaye karle bar machim tenure. They're going to call you the son of the oven warmer. I think the Chassam Sofer explains like this: that because you have such a big appetite, the oven is constantly, you have to constantly heat it up to make sure that you're eating all the time. Rav Amar bar machte bekuve. That you're in charge of the beer pub, that you're in charge of the beer house, that the people who dance and they're only drinking all the time, you're busy not making any time for Torah. Papa Amar bar machalech penche. They call him the son of the son of the plate licker. You're always licking the plates. Rashmai Amar bar mach rava. That they're the son of literally the folding croucher because they pass out drinks when they're drunk, and that's what the reference of you, and they have to end up falling asleep on your clothing. That's like you're folding your clothing to fall asleep because you're getting drunk all the time and not being osek b'Torah. Now the Gemara continues about Dafka marrying a Talmud Chacham. Tanur Rabbanan, we learn lolam yimkor adam kol ma sheyesh lo v'yisa bas Talmud Chacham. Sell everything you can in order to marry a daughter of a Talmud Chacham. Very big thing, marrying a daughter of a Talmud Chacham. She'im meis ogola, because if Chas Hashem you'll die or you get exiled, you're unable to raise your children. Moftach lo shebanav tamid chacham, you're going to be sure that your children are going to be tamid chachamim. You're going to see because the wife is going to go back to her parents' house and they're still going to marry them in derech of Torah, and you don't have to worry. So it's just pointed out that Achronim point out, but Yosef quotes this. That at the end of the day, that someone who is just a regular Yerush Shemayim and her parents aren't that from, basically, that you could still marry her because if you feel it's more fitting, then you're going to be learning Torah with her as well, and you don't have to worry about it. I remember when Rav Kahn said a shmuz over, and he was saying that any person who was Makabal the old Torah, any woman is Makabal Torah, even if her parents aren't from it all, her parents are the Torah. That is her parents. That's not a problem of this Gemara. She is someone whose parents are Sarif the Torah, because she's married to the Torah, so she's the daughter of the Torah. The Al Yisav Bas Amaretz, this person should not marry the daughter of Nama Aretz, she imeis the Gola Banav Amaretz, because then they're going to be raised by the grandparents, and they don't know any Torah, and they're not going to be giving your children a proper education. Okay? So that's, and also that Haran point out, usually there's a rule of 1/5, but this might be an exception to that rule. A very fascinating Gemara is here. The market then Tanur Rabbanan Olam Yimkor Adam Kol Mashiyeshen, should sell everything that you own. These about someone get everything to marry a Talmud Chacham. Also marry a daughter to a Talmud Chacham. Mashal Inve Agef. It's a famous song. Inve Agef and Inve Agef and Navad Davar Nave Umeskabel. Nobody knows the words to the song. So this is what's going on. Inve Agef is an analogy to the grapes of a vine. With the grapes of a vine, that there are two vines are coming together. Davin Nave Umeskabel. That there's something great and acceptable. Since both of them are from Talmidei Chachamim, they can both be compared to the groups of vine, and they're going to be coming together. Rabbi Yosha points out that when you have two different grapevines coming together, even though they don't taste exactly the same, they're going to taste delicious because it's going to complement each other. So two Talmidei Chachamim, two families of Torah coming together is a beautiful thing. They're going to be complementing each other. But lo yisa am aretz, don't matter the Torah of an am aretz, mashal inve agefem inve asneh. Nobody sings this version because it's a pretty bad one. The grapes of a vine with the berries of a thorn bush, davar kor, which is something unseemly. The Eino Miskabel and not good. Again, Ama Aretz, it's translated. I don't know if I translate it. That's a very shiloh over here. What does Ama Aretz mean? Usually Ama Aretz just means someone who's ignorant. It doesn't know the halacha. So many Achronim point out that maybe for a lot of the context, because we're going to have a whole basic Amud, a lot of the Gemara over here is going to talk about very bad things about Ama Aretzim. So it could be that the Ama Aretzim that we're discussing in the Gemara over here are people who are doing Bemezin and really hate Torah Judaism. Not someone who just doesn't know. Someone who doesn't know, that's not Ama Aretz in this context over here. That's a shiloh in the Achronim. The Gemara continues, you should sell everything you can in order to marry a daughter of a Talmud Chacham. Lo matza bas Talmud Chacham. If you can't find a daughter of a Talmud Chacham, yisa bas gedolei ador. You should marry the gedolei ador. That doesn't mean what we define as gedolei ador because those are bigger people. We're talking about, Rashi talks about people who have maisim toivim, people who have good deeds. So lo matza is bas gedolei ador. So if you can't marry those, then what? Yisa bas rosh knesset. You should marry the daughter of the community leaders. Lo matza bas rosh knesset. You marry community leaders. Yisa bas gabei tzedakah. Those who are in charge of giving the tzedakah funds because l'chor they're honest. If they were chosen to give the tzedakah funds, then they're also good. Lo matza bas gabei tzedakah. Yisa bas lamed tikunos. So if you don't find that, you should sell the daughter of school teachers, v'lo yisabas ame ha'aretz, and you should not marry the daughters of ame ha'aretz. Again, mentioning what in the context of here, the Torah holds ame ha'aretz is just someone who violates the Torah for specifically b'mezin and is very upset about it. The Beis Yosef, that's what I mentioned, is the machlokas. The Beis Yosef holds that maybe it's actually implied that anyone who's just not keeping the mitzvahs carefully is a reference to that's the ame ha'aretz we mentioned over here. Nation shuckets, because they are considered like disgusting. V'noshna sheretz, and they're also like bugs, they're insects. V'albanoseinu omer, regarding to their daughter, that says, arosh shochem kol behema. We're comparing them to an animal. The Taz explains that, again, the daughter of Amar Aretz is likely to believe that the whole point of studying is for the next world. She's not going to help her husband learn. But again, if you see a woman who has these qualities and wants her husband to learn, obviously this Gemara would not be applicable. The Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Amar Aretz Asr Le'echol Basar. It's Asr for Amar Aretz to eat. Meet Shinemar, the Pasuk says, Zos Taras Behema Ve'Auf, that this is the laws with regards to the animals and the birds. Call Osik B'Torah Mutar Le'echol Basar Behema. So it's a play on the words over Josh over here, that someone who learns Torah is let to eat meat of an animal. Because anyone who doesn't eat animals, anyone who doesn't preoccupy himself with Torah, he's not allowed to have basar behema b'chayvei of. I saw Rav Yosha brings down maybe because they're like pre Noach times, because the whole purpose was the Torah. If you're not, it'd be like pre Noach times. The purpose for them is they're not even allowed to eat animals. Adam Arisha is not allowed to eat animals. You go back to that halacha. Amar Belazar, Amaretz mutar lenafcha b'yom Kippurim shechalios b'Shabbos. It's permitted to kill Amaretz even on Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos. It's very chamor lashon over here. So what are we referring to? So this is a big shayla on the Rishonim over here. Are we talking about that? That you should understand literally. So maybe we are. We're talking about someone who is chayav misa because he's suspected of murder. He constantly murders people. He does terrible things in public. So that's that person you are allowed to kill even on Yom Kippur Shechalios B'Shabbos. That's where the chiddush over here. Some Rishonim explain that this is an exaggeration. This is a guzma that people are just encouraged to make sure to not have anything to do with amei aratzim. I remember like there's a shaila that says chuvas b'samim rosh. The Abnei Nezer points that someone should burn it even on Yom Kippur Shechalios B'Shabbos. The chor is a type of guzma that the Gemara is mentioning over here. The market is amar lo. Tamidav, because it was a shayla, it was a forgery from the Rush. Mark, there's an Amr Tamidav. Rebbe Amr L'Shachta, why don't you shech them? Why don't you do shechita, which is maybe is going to more blood, it's more bloody, so then it would be worse for them. Amr Lahem, no, because they don't bracha, you make a bracha on shechita. There's some sort of praising to Gosh Baruch Hu. So that, we don't want to praise the Gosh Baruch Hu. There's any of the bracha. You don't give a praise to Gosh Baruch Hu with this type of person, Amr Aretz. Amr Abelazar, Amr Aretz Asur Litzavaz Mabadarech. It's permitted to accompany Amr Aretz on a journey, presumably alone, because we're afraid he's going to kill you. The Torah is your life in the day of your days. Al-Chayav Lochas, he doesn't care about his own life. He abandons the Torah. Al-Chayav Rosh Goshkin, he's not going to be careful, he's going to be reckless, and it's only a dangerous journey, you should not go with him. Amr Abishmal Bar Nachmin, Amr Yochanan, Am Aretz Mutter Likoro Kedag. You can rip him up like a fish. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Rabbi Shmuel Netzchak Megavo. Also, you can do so from his back. Tanya, the Brisa tells us, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Kshayiti Am Aretz Amarti. When his famous Gemara over here, Rabbi Akiva used to say, when I was Am Aretz, he used to say, Mitein Tamil Chacham Vashchenu Kachamor. Who give me a Tamil Chacham and I'll bite him like a donkey? Amar La Tamidav is Tamil Chacham Rabbi Kekelev. Why don't you say, like, you'll bite him like a dog? Amar Lan, Zen Noshav Lashover Etzim. When a donkey bites, it's worse. He breaks bones. Zen Noshav Lashover Etzim. Whereas a dog bites, it doesn't break any bones. So what was Rabbi Akiva saying? So Tosa says in Ksubas that that Rabbi Kiva even was honest before he learned. He hated Talmid Chachamim only because he saw how arrogantly they acted towards Amir Arzim. They hate us. They treat us, people take that time like nowadays. So the Gemara he said they didn't realize that they were careful because of Zavish issues, that they were Tame, so they stayed away from them, and that's why they were so careful not to come close to the Amir Arzim. Gemara continues that Tanya, Hayar Rabbi Meir Omer Kol Amasi Bitul Amir Arzim. Anyone who marries off his daughter to an Amir Arzim, Kilu Kosa Manichal of Nairi, is tying her up and putting her before a lion. Mari Doris Velcho in the bushes, Panim, it's like a lion attacks and it devours everything it takes without any bushes, Panim, without any shame whatsoever. Acham Arzim Maka Uboel Veila Bushes Panim. So too, Nama Arzim, he has relations, he hits her, he'll beat his wife, and have relations with her without any shame. He'll not treat her properly, not give her proper covet. Even when having the relations, he's gonna not treat her properly. Continues the Gemara, which is testament to like raping her a little bit. Tanya Gemara continues, Rabbi Elazar Omer, they needed us for business dealings. Interesting. The Amaratim needed the from rabbis for their business dealings. The Torah things have changed to the opposite nowadays. Hayu Hargan Osam, they would kill us. If it would not have been for that, they needed us to do business with us. Tanya Rabbi Chia says, Kol Ha'Oisik B'Torah B'Nei Amaretz, anyone who learns Torah before Amaretz, Ki'ilu Bo'al Ha'Ritzos B'Fanav, is like he has relations with the Amaretz wife that he married before the Amaretz. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Torah Tzivan Adonai Moshe, the Torah, that's a Morasha, we're married to the Torah, so Altik Morasha, don't read it as a Morasha, as Ma'ura, so that we're married to the Torah, so it's Ki'ilu, we're taking something that we're married to and he's married to, but he doesn't keep it, so it's like we're having relations with him in front of his, with his wife in front of him. The Market is Gedola, Shina, Shishonin, Amaretz, Latam, Chacham, Yosem, Sin of children, almost all of my Israel. This is very true, unfortunately, today also. The Amaretz hate the Torah, Talmid Chachamim, more than even non-Jews hate us. And Shosei and Yosef and their wives hate Talmid Chachamim even more than they do. And continues the verse of Tana, we learn also, Shana Opiris Yosef Mikulam, this is also very unfortunately true, that someone who learns Torah and is Alpikores and he goes off the path of the Torah, many times he's worse, he'll be malshin on us more, and he is worse than any of the Goyim. So that's the very bad. Gemara continues, Tana Rabbanan, Shisha Dvarim, Nemru Ba'amaretz. Six things were said about the Amaretz. In Moshe Nolad Edus, you cannot give testimony to them. Can't trust them to say any testimony over. Ve'in mekavlan ezer, and they can't testify themselves. Ve'in megalan, and so don't tell them any secrets because they're going to tell everybody we can't trust them. Ve'in rani also apichopas ali esomim. We should not appoint them. Abchovas over the state of the orphans. Don't appoint them as careful as tzedakah funds because we don't trust them. They're going to steal from it. Vein mislabin oman b'derech. We do not accompany them on the journey. Yesh omim. Others say af in machrizin avodasa. We also don't announce their lost property because if you find a lost object left above metzia, you have to try to find the owner. So the shaila in the rishonim is how in the world did we know that this was of amaretz? So Tosfos explained that we're discussing a case where it falls out from a group of amaretz. So you know it's one of theirs. So you have a chiyuv to identify whose it is. Normally, again, for halacha of a Jew, you have 100% chiyuv to give back their property that they lost. The Tanakama holds that you do announce lost property on Amaretz. Why? Because Zimri the Nafik Minai Zaram Aliyah, because sometimes they're going to have kosher offspring. And it's going to benefit from the lost item. Shenar, the Pasuk says, Yachin Vitadik Gilbash, that the wicked man prepares a wardrobe, but the righteous man is going to wear it, meaning he's going to have tzadikim come from him. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara quotes Vichain, Misha Yatzah, someone left Yushalayim. Remember that he had Basar Kodesh and we had different halachas about Kibitza versus Kazayas. The Gemara says, no, Rabbi Meir, Sarah Kibitza, who Dechashiv, Rabbi Yehuda, Sarah Kazayas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir holds that X amount is a Chashiv amount significant, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that an Alz amount is significant, or Minu, is that really true, though? We have a contrast with Abraisa, with Mishnah rather, in Brachos, which is Ad Kamaz Amnim, Ad Kazayas, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad Kibitza. The Stam Mishnah tell, which we're assuming is Rabbi Meir, is a Kazayas, and Rabbi Yehuda says Kibitza, so we have the opposite. Rabbi Yehuda here is saying Kazayas, and over there he says Kibitza, and Rabbi Meir says over there Kazayas, and here he's saying Kibitza. So Rabbi Yochanan says, you should flip the shita of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in brachos, and therefore line them up with what they say. The Tanakam Rabbi Meir really is holding that it's an X amount over there that's going to be berkas amos. Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's a kizayis. Rabbi Meir says no, you don't have to flip them over. So you could say, but correctly, they're arguing over the halacha of explaining the psukim. Halacha b'svar pligi, whereas there is talking about halacha in svar hasam b'kray pligi. There they're talking about machlokas in psukim. Rabbi Meir savav achalta, eating is zo achila v'savata zo shtia, and drinking is also part of the achila kazayas, and the eating is going to be an amount of an alaz amount. Rabbi Yosef points out that we maybe should try to be machmir for shitas Rabbi Meir, even though we really hold like Rabbi Yehuda, as we're going to see in a moment. Rabbi Yehuda savar achada v'savata achila sheish basvia. You should eat and should be satisfied. What is this referring to? This means that we're talking about eating amount that satiates someone. But Ezo, what is that considered? Bekebeitza, that's an eggs amount. So then, and here they're arguing with the psukim. How to explain psukim? They're going back for the chametz, and the kachim is with regard is the same halacha as the laws of the tuma. Ma tumasa bekebeitza, just like tuma is the eggs volume. Afchazrasa bekebeitza, so too is the requirement for a turning going to be an eggs amount. Rabbi Yehuda said afchazrasa, turning out the next amount. Yisro is like the isra. Ma isra bekezayis, just as the prohibition is going to be an olives amount. Afchazrasa bekezayis, so too the returning is going to be like an olives amount. Tanya, we learn in Rabbi Yisro, Rabbi Nasan Omer, zev zev b'shnei kishnei beitzim. This is a different shita that either of them, both of them, the minimum amount is going to be two beitzim. Below the chachamim, but the chachamim didn't agree with them, as we mentioned before. There were different shitas, kezayis and kebeitzim. That was Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Be'ez Hashem, we will pick up with Vahaya Be'yom Ahu and get to a little more God to the end of the parak. Be'ez Hashem, we'll get up from there tomorrow.